Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We're here this morning to celebrate a historic moment, a moment in time, a day that is the greatest day that this earth will ever know. See, we come here to celebrate Easter and we get dressed up and we spend time with our families and we remember like we've done with the communion and we do throughout the year to remember what Christ did on the cross and the victory of him being raised from the grave that morning. But really, in order to feel and to know the weight of this moment of victory, the victorious rising of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to go a couple of days before and we need to remember the moment of the cross. We need to go before that and remember and understand that there was a man. There was God also that came here, made himself small, even though he was so big and so great. He created the universe. He created our heavens and our earth. He can create and move and do, but made himself small like us to bring us back into this relationship that we needed with our Heavenly Father. And see, this man, it wasn't that he came and to rule and to reign on this earth and to stay here forever, but there was a plan, a very specific plan. And it had even to do with being despised and rejected. He was misjudged and accused by his own people. He was misunderstood. They so many times, even those that were following, didn't understand what he was speaking. He spoke many times, "Why do you not understand these things that I'm speaking to you?" But this wasn't something that he didn't know was going to happen. See, he knew, and the amazing thing about it is I see, as we look in Isaiah 53, so many years before, it speaks of this very moment. And how could we think that God or the people that were surrounding him, the women, the men, his disciples, those that had been to those times when he was speaking and performing miracles and think that this wasn't something that was supposed to happen? In Isaiah 53, it says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." This prophecy, this word that was spoken so many years before, speaks to us. This plan that God had set in place that he knew was going to happen, that he knew we needed in order to be back into this close family relationship with him, that he created us for. He created us to walk in the cool of the day with him. He created us to be with him and to know him and for him to know us. And that was separated. And it was strained by sin. But God had a plan. He had a plan. I see so many in that day, and even now, we're like, why didn't he just stand up and say, "I'm God," and he could have just destroyed his enemies right in that moment. But it wasn't about destroying those physical enemies. It was about destroying sin and death for eternity, for all of time, for you and I, no matter what time we live in, no matter if it was back 2,000 years ago, no matter if it's 100 years from now, he has victory over sin and death. He has taken that sin and shame for us. But in this moment, when he's being taken to the cross, when he's being taken and he's been beaten and he's been bloodied and bruised, and there was the crowds around him, his disciples, there was a large crowd of women and men, and the Bible says that the women were weeping and lamenting. They were crying out for him. And so many times do we see the way that Jesus sees, because so many times we weep and lament, God, look at the things that are happening in my life. Look at the things that are happening in the world. Look at all these things. But you know what Jesus says? In Luke 23, and a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." See, on that day, whenever he was carrying, he was bruised, beaten, and bloodied, and carrying the cross that he would later be crucified on, he was carrying it, and he turns to those, not those. They were mocking him. They were shaming him. They were yelling at him, and he turns to those, not that are yelling or mocking, but he turns to those that are weeping for him and says, "Do not weep for me. Don't cry for me, but be burdened and weep and lament for yourselves." What does this mean? What does this mean? He's turning us around and saying, "You don't understand. You don't see what I see in this moment." Do we see? We should. We know the outcome. But do we live the outcome? Do we live it? He says, "Don't weep for me, you people here that are crying out for me, those that have been with me. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Why? Because he's seeing not just this day, not just this time where he's bruised and he's beaten. He's seeing 3 days from now. He says, "You don't understand this moment right now. You see struggle. You see me being beaten, but I see the enemy being beaten. I see this is my victory march." It's like, "You don't understand. I know you can't see it." And I think about how many times in the Bible did Jesus say, "Don't you understand what I'm saying? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? I've told you before." And it was over and over hard for them to understand and grasp these things. But then I think, "Ah, God, I see. Even knowing the outcome of this moment, how many times do I fail to rest in the complete victory of Christ? Do I not fully place my trust in you and my hope in you? God, is my faith complete in you? Am I relying on you like I should?" Jesus says, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Understand that I know what's going to happen. Now you know too. Understand what did happen. That it wasn't that he was just beaten and bruised and bloodied and sent to the cross and took this sin and shame for us and didn't raise from the dead. But no, 3 days later, he raised from the dead, victorious, a conqueror." See, he knew what was going to happen, and we know what did happen in those moments. See, he says, weep not for me. He didn't need our tears 2,000 years ago. He doesn't need our tears now. There's no lack of strength or no lack of victory or no lack of anything in him, but in us, the ones that he did this for have lack. And when we understand that and we see those things, he says, "Now, don't weep for me because I'm victorious. Weep for yourselves and understand not what's happening right now, but why it is happening right now. Why is this happening? It's happening because of our sin. Do we understand the weight of our involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? That he died for our sins, not just those that were alive in his time, but for all of us. That our sin put him on the cross. He says, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves. He says, my hands willingly grab hold of this cross because I know the plan of my Father. He says, this cup that the Father has given me, will I not surely drink it? John 4:34 says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, he's not just seeing that moment, that day. He's there taking the weight of our sin and our shame, but he's at the same time seeing the plan and the will of his Father being played out, the victory. No matter what the enemy thinks in this moment, they're cheering, they're happy, they say, woo, we're sending him to the cross. But he is joyful. He is willingly taking this cup because he sees the victory in this thing that is happening. It says, do not weep for me. I'm not a helpless victim. I'm a willing participant and substitute for you. Understand and know what I'm doing at this moment. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. Because I'm conquering sin and death. I am taking this on myself so that it can be completely conquered in your life. He says, don't weep for me. Because this story isn't just about this day that I'm going to the cross. But this story is about the completion, and 3 days later, on a great and glorious morning when I raise from the dead, holding the keys. If you only knew what I know, he says, you would not be weeping for me, but crying out for yourself. They didn't understand. He had told them over and over. Says the Son of Man will be rejected, that I will be crucified, that I will be taken. But in 3 days, I will be victorious and I will rise. Over and over again. He's told them that he'll be victorious. Weep for your sins, not for me. Weep for the reason that I am being placed on this cross, not that I am placed on this cross. Many weep over the suffering, but not the sin that has caused it. And he's saying, weep over that sin, and the suffering will be taken from you. See, he sees what it says in Luke 24. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I love it because this scripture tells us, what is this? This is Sunday morning. This is the morning that he rose from the dead. It is daybreak. See, we've been speaking the past 12 weeks, if you've been here, this first part of the year, about daybreakers. And I wear a sweatshirt that says daybreaks almost every day. I mean, it's comfortable, you know? But also, I just want to represent this, that who Christ is. And I just dare somebody to ask me what daybreakers means. Because I'm going to have to tell them. I have to tell them, Pastor Mikey. So what is daybreakers? Well, let me tell you. Very early in the morning, one fateful morning, 2,000 years ago, the sun rose. And it wasn't just one sun that rose that morning. It was two. The sun rose to give light to the earth around it, but also the Son of God rose from the grave to give victory over your sin and your shame, to defeat death, to bring us into relationship with our Heavenly Father. The most amazing daybreak that you've ever seen or that you'll ever know was that day. And we get to be a part of it. We get to be brought into that family. And he asks us, he says, hey, will you take the light of the glory of God that I brought to you in that moment when I came out of the grave? Can you hold on to that and bring that to those around you? Can you bring and be a daybreaker? Can you bring light? Can you bring my story? Can you bring my glory to those that are standing around you in the darkness? See, he understood. He knew what was going to happen. And because of that, he had joy. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised up because of our justification. He knew what was happening. He did it anyway. He knew what was going to be the case as he grew up, as he started his ministry, to be rejected and despised and misjudged and put on the cross. He knew all those things, but he loved us so much that he came and walked this plan out that God had placed before him. In John 13:1, it says, now before the feast of the Passover is when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. He loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. He loved us so much that he would take anything and any pain and any beating so that we wouldn't have to bear these burdens anymore and bear this sin and this shame. That is why he loved us. Because he created us. That is why he came for us. Because he wanted us to be in this relationship with him that we are supposed to be, that we are created to have. Hebrews 12. Verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Can we lay aside this weight? He says, look, I have come. I have taken this weight. Why carry it? I don't carry it any longer. See, he took that stuff to the grave and left it there. He defeated it. He has victory. He doesn't carry it. So he says, why are you still carrying it yourself? Don't carry it around. because I'm not carrying it either. There's victory over sin and death. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Think about this moment and what is happening and how he's spoken to the ladies and the crowd that is going with him that are weeping and mourning for him. And he says, don't weep for me, weep for yourself. And not only that, but these scriptures say that for the joy, what is the joy? The joy is that we can walk with him, that we will be in relationship with him, that we'll know him like we never have before because of what is going to happen. For the joy that was set before him, he gladly endured the cross. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Understand what's going on here in this moment and what our part is. The cross was glorious, a glorious moment. But without the grave and the open tomb, 3 days later, there's not a completion of the victory. That is what we're celebrating today. To remember what he's done, but ultimately the victory that he has and the victory that he's given us as we come to know him. We have victory. He's not one of those paintings that you see of Jesus with the lamb and all, you know, frail and gaunt. See, no, this is a warrior king, a conqueror. This is our Jesus. See, you don't go to a cross and take sin and death into the grave and come out victorious, holding on to the keys of hell. Come on, don't tell me that Jesus is weak and frail. Don't show me a picture like that. I don't know, and we don't know exactly what he looked like, but I know that he is the strongest. I know that there is no weakness and there's no lack of authority. There's no lack of victory in him. My Jesus is a warrior. My Jesus is a conqueror. My Jesus went to the cross and came back 3 days later with victory. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. The iniquity, the sin of every single one of us, no matter what time or where we live, no matter who we are or what we've done. See, so many times we see, oh, well, you know, that person that's a little bit better than me, that, you know, they haven't done as much as I have. You know, they're good enough to be saved by this work on the cross. No, no. He didn't do it just for the good ones. He didn't do it just for the ones that live in a certain area, a certain place, or certain time. You don't understand. This victory was complete. That's what the scripture said. It's finished. It is finished. The victory is final. It's over. No matter where, no matter what time, no matter what you've done, he has victory over it. He just asks. He says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, heavy laden, come to me. says, let me take those from you to the cross. Don't weep for me, but understand that I have taken those things that you should weep about, those sins, the shame, all those things that have happened in your past. But I've taken them for you, so weep no more. We can be forgiven and free because of this moment in history, the greatest daybreak in history. It's our moment. It's your moment. See, it's personal. You have to understand that he did it for you and I, and not just corporately, but individually, just for you, just for little old you and little old me. He did it for us. It's personal, and he wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Amen? Why don't you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.